Stat predictions, freshman standouts, and role reversals. It's time for another Barn Takeover.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. It's my favorite day of the week. It's time for another Barn Takeover, where we let members of the barnauburn.com basically program the show. We put the mailbag up on Wednesdays. They fill it up with some diabolical questions, and then we have some fun. Some of them are serious. Some of them are funny. Some of them are crazy scenarios. But regardless, we have fun. We love shouting out our members at thebarnauburn.com. But before we do that, before we get started, we got to give another shout out to our boy, Uncle Keith, with Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. We've been talking about it a couple of weeks now. Use coupon code TheBarn25 to take 25% off your order at UncleKeithsRedSauce.com. If you love restaurant salsa, but you don't have time to go to the restaurant, you just want to go pick something up at the grocery store, you want to order something online, and you don't want it to taste like every other salsa you get off of the shelf, you got to try Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. You got a mild, you got a spicy, two different versions, no preservatives, no additives, all locally made and shipped and everything. And it's an Auburn family as well. So you can show him some love. You know, he'll be cheering on the Tigers this weekend along with you. So give him a shout. Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. It's good, y'all. All right, let's just go ahead and jump right in. We got some really good questions this week and have some fun. So Bryce Tillman. Hey, by the way, Bryce is Mississippi guy, has had a ton of info on Deuce Knight and Jace Matthews and a lot of those guys from that area. So he's worth the price of admission, just Bryce himself. So definitely one of our longtime members. Eric Singleton or Cam Coleman over under 800 yards receiving this year? If over, which one? And then there's a second part of the question. We'll dive into the first part first. All right. So last year, Cam had a little bit over 500 yards, I believe. Okay. And really was like towards the middle of the season, was dinged up a little bit. And he had close to 600 yards. He was dinged up a little bit. I think he had the shoulder issue, had a hammy issue. And then towards the end of the season, he really started to torch people. Didn't really matter who it was. He would go up and catch touchdowns, big plays. It feels like he's going to be a go-to guy. This is going to be the breakout year to really, really, I guess, really, really make a name for himself. He kind of already did last year, but this is the year that I think he becomes like a go-to guy. So I could see him easily going over 800. I mean, he missed a game, and he still had basically 600 yards receiving last year, and he wasn't even fully healthy, true freshman. I could see him easily going over that. And honestly, I mean, you could have two go over 800. It may be hard to get them both close to 1,000, but you may have two guys go over 800 yards. I say Cam for sure goes over 800, and it's going to be hard to keep Eric Singleton from going over 800 too. I just think they're going to want to throw the ball. That's going to be the strength of this team, is the receiving core in general. I think they're going to want to get the ball out and get it in their playmakers' hands. And I could see, honestly, the way this system was set up. I mean, last year, again, you had a guy that had 981 yards and you had a guy that had 600 yards. Well, you add those together and you're just shy of that. You're just shy of that two receivers going like combined 1,600 yards. I think you're just a little bit shy of that. So, I mean, and we saw the struggles that we had last year. Now you're going to have two more really talented wide receivers, hopefully a little bit better offensive line, maybe get some better quarterback play. And I think you could have two guys for sure. Scarrett. I think you definitely have a chance. And then, golly, don't forget about Malcolm Simmons. But I think these guys are going to be your number 1-2 punch for sure. And then the last part is Jackson Arnold over under 3,000 yards for the season. I've gone back and forth on this. I lean over, and it's not being a homer. I lean over just simply because of the function of the offense. I mean, think of last year. In 11 games, Peyton threw for 2,700 yards. Okay. If he would have played his full game against Arkansas and the full game against New Mexico, more than likely, Peyton throws for over 3,000 yards. 3,000 yards in this offense doesn't necessarily signify just spectacular, you know, quarterback play. I think it's just a function of the offense. You heard Bo Wallace say that you could throw for 3,000 yards in this offense on run calls, just on run plays, just with all the different options. And with the way that I think this offense is probably going to be designed, it's going to be probably give Auburn fans a little heartburn because it's going to be something that we're not probably used to seeing. We've been begging for it probably for a long time to see a lot more explosive passing game. But I think you're going to get it this year. So you got to be ready for it. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. Again, this is not me saying that I think Jackson Arnold's going to come in and I'm totally booging out and homering. I just think this offense, that's typically standard. Throwing for 3,000 yards. I just think that's the function of how this offense works. And I think Jackson Arnold is, I think he's got all the tools to be able to run this offense. Like, I think he's got all the tools to be able to, you know, make the quick decisions, make the quick passes. And hopefully he can just, you know, not play hero ball. Just play inside of himself, play inside of the system. Don't think you know more than the offense and just try to get 4 yards. 4 yards of play. That is the goal of this offense. I mean, if you get 4 yards a play, you're gonna be ahead of the chains. So I think I would take over Jackson Arnold 3,000 yards, barely, just like barely over 3,000 yards. Probably will take a bowl game. And then Cam Coleman, I think I would lean towards Cam Coleman just because I think he's got a better opportunity to catch more balls down the field, get big chunks of yards. And I think, you know, Singleton's probably going to be a little bit more of, you know, underneath. He could still be a deep threat, but I think a little bit more underneath, eat up yards, move the chains, stuff like that. But they both have the opportunity to be a big play. That's Cam's games down the field, vertical. So I'm going to go over 800. For sure with Cam, but it wouldn't shock me if both of them did. Great first question. Mr. Incredible, one freshman on offense is standing out and one freshman on defense is standing out. So I've been seeing a lot of stuff where people are talking about standouts. I'm like, what are they standing out in? They're not really doing anything. But I think just overall, when you look at physically how guys are impressive, physically how guys are looking, where it's like, okay, wow, that guy, because right now basically you're just in the gym and doing stuff, you're in your workout program and you're doing stuff on your own on the side. On offense, I've heard a lot of really like people that are impressed with the physicality and the body, how he looks with Sam Turner. I think they say he looks physically ready to play at this level, already kind of putting on some good weight. As he's been here, again, you're not practicing, so it's not like you can show out in one-on-ones or anything like that. But just from a physicality standpoint, he looks ready to go. So that would be one on offense. Deuce is another one where they say he's gained, you know, 13 plus pounds since he's got here, which if you've seen him in person, you would know that was one thing he needed to do is come put on some weight. So I think those for sure on offense. And then defense, everybody's really excited about the defensive line room in general. I think they all look really, really good. I think Darian Smith is another one where they're like, man, that guy looks a lot more like a SEC player than we initially thought. He's kind of come ready to play. So that's those are two that I've heard. Sam Turner and Darian Smith are two that I've heard mentioned specifically that physically look better than they expected. So that's what I'm going to go with, because really there's not a ton else they could be standing out doing. So that's what I'm going with. Cambo, name a popular local restaurant that you think is overrated. Look, I could get in a lot of trouble for some of this stuff. So I'm going to take an easy way out, and I'm going to say one that just recently went out of business. I've seen so many people like we're so sad that it went out of business. We're so sad. And this Tenda Chick. Why didn't it go out of business if it's so good? That's my question. Everybody was talking about Tenda Chick. I went there maybe one time ever. I think not just in college, ever. I think I went there one time. Nah, it wasn't bad. It's just another place. It's hard to get into. There's only the parking lot's not great. The turn in isn't great. The location isn't great. It's a really busy intersection. You can only go one way out of the exit. And you can only go one way entering it. So you either have to go into the Kroger parking lot and like find your way around, or you have to go down, especially if you're going like towards Glenn on Dean, you have to go past it, I think, and turn around and come back and turn in. So it's just a weird location, weird spot. And it's just another chicken finger place, man. People were acting like we shut down Auburn when we shut down Tenda Chick. And I just never was really blown away. I only went there one time. So I'm going to go with that one. That's a safe play since it's not in business anymore. Who knows what kind of partnerships could be down the road. This is a good one. I'm struggling on the football to basketball one, but if you had to choose any previous Auburn basketball player, I'm sorry, I skipped ahead, from I. Cray, okay? If you had to choose any previous Auburn basketball player to add to the current roster, who would it be? Who would you choose and why? This one's super easy, Jared Harper. The one thing I think this offense is missing, and this is no knock on Denver, it's no knock on Tahad. I think naturally they are both shooting guards, naturally. I think that's probably where they would love to be more naturally off the ball, you know, catching balls, running sets where they get open three looks, or, you know, to hide getting spacing and getting the ball late in the shot clock and going. But Jared Harper, I think a true point guard that could break a defense down, penetrate and get to the line late in a shot clock. I think you look at those teams, Jared late in the game could just say, I'm getting to the hole. I'm getting to the hole. I'm going to get up. I'm going to get a shot up. I may get fouled. If I get fouled, great. But I'm going to close this game out. I don't know. Auburn's got a collective of guys that can do that. I don't know that they have that at the point guard position. Another one I was going to go for was Sharif Cooper, because Sharif shot just a ton of free throws. And it was for that very reason. His game was penetrating inside. He wasn't a great – in college, he wasn't a great three-point shooter. Jared was a great three-point shooter by the time he left. So I think I'd give the nod to Jared just over his three-point shooting. But I think that's probably where I'd go. That would allow Denver to play his natural position. And when he plays – when Tahad and Denver are on the court and Tahad's running point and Denver's playing the two, I don't know. I feel like he shoots so much better because he's not moving with the ball. He's kind of set, and he gets a play where he gets open and boom, he typically hits those shots. So that's what I'd go with, Jared Harper. This is the question I was thinking of. Your boy George, out of every player that's ever played at Auburn, football or basketball, who do you think would play the best if they were to switch sports? Role reversal, okay? So I thought this one was tough. To me, the basketball to football is a little bit easier than football to basketball. Basketball to football is easier than football to basketball. So I'll start with basketball to football. And this may be recency bias, and if it is, that's fine. I look at size. Are they football size, athleticism, and then just overall their demeanor? You know, who's willing to go put the pads on and bust heads? And from basketball to football, I keep going back to Malik Dunbar. He was 6'6", 230. And I think about him as that like big tight end role, that big slot role. He could jump over the goalpost. He could move. And he didn't mind being physical. I think Malik Dunbar would have been a really, really good big slot tight end guy. Again, that size, man, he looked like a football player playing basketball when he played. And what was crazy was like, he was kind of like a 3-point shooter, but he could drive and he could slam and he could get rebounds and he was physical. I think Malik Dunbar would have been a really good football player. And then, but football to basketball is tough because you don't know how skill sets translate. So I feel comfortable in this just because, and again, this is recency. Malcolm Simmons was a really good basketball player in high school, and he is a freak athlete. He can jump. There's so many like videos and tweets and Snapchats and all that of him just having some incredible highlight reel dunks in high school. I think he was just a really good basketball player. So I think he's 6'2", 190. I think he could be a really good bouncy, you know, point guard or shooting guard that could, you know, drive to the hole and make stuff happen. I think I would go with those two guys. I think I'd take Malik Dunbar on the football field. I think Malcolm Simmons would be a really good two guard in basketball. So that's my answers. There's probably some much better ones, but I struggled with the football to basketball one. I know that there was a time when there's football players that could beat the basketball team in pickup games. Now, this was back when I was in school, but I'm struggling trying to remember who those big-time hoopers were. There was a time when there was a couple of football players that would go play basketball. I think there was one, his name was like Kyle DeRozan, I believe. He was a tight end. He was like 6'6". Like 270, you know, like just a really big power forward. He didn't play a ton, and I could be wrong on that name, but I do remember back in the day, there was some football players that would go play basketball at the end of the season. But I think I'm going to go with those two guys for right now. Let me know what you think. Who am I missing? There's probably some guys that I'm just not thinking of. I think those are two pretty good ones, but who's some guys? I mean, obviously there's Bo Jackson or Cam Newton, freak athletes that probably could play basketball. I don't know how good they are at basketball. I don't know if Bo's ever even shot a basketball, but naturally they'd be pretty good athletes. They could probably hoop a little bit too. Aubelicious, does ordering a single from Sheila C's make you look weak? If you're not familiar with Auburn, Sheila C's, that's hard to say. Sheila C's Burger Barn. It's a pretty dope place. I call it the Country Club Burger. If you like a flat grill, just a good old-fashioned hamburger, it's a pretty awesome place in Auburn. And they offer it in a single or a double. And if you don't get a double with cheese and bacon, well, I mean, you might as well just go get a salad somewhere. Go get a salad somewhere. What are you doing? Why are you even here? You go there for the double, and it's really, really good. I don't live very far from it, so I can call it in and go pick it up and just feel awful afterwards. But it feels so good during it. It just totally fills you up. It's a good place. Ooh, this is a good one. Frank Tolbert's finger. Who is your projected starting five for Bruce next season? A lot of this is going to depend on the ruling from the NCAA on Division II, on JUCO, and how they remedy that whole situation. They've been talking about just going blanket 5 years and saying, forget the JUCO stuff, forget the D2, you just got 5 years. No red shirt, you got 5 years to play. you want to play 5 years, play 5 years. If that were to happen, Chaney could come back. Denver could come back. Denver probably could come back anyway, if this just based off the JUCO thing. Chad could come back. Miles Kelly could come back. So that's the tough part. And I think that's a little bit of the reason why you look at recruiting talk and things like that, and you're sort of in a limbo because you don't exactly know what's going to go on with the roster. So I'm going to assume that it goes through. I'm going to assume that it goes through, and I'm going to say that your starting five is going to be probably Tahad at the one, Denver at the two, probably Chad at the three, Chaney at the four, and a portal guy at the five. That if everything goes through, I think Miles Kelly may want to – he could come back, but I think may want to just go ahead and go to the NBA. He was leaning towards going into the NBA last year, and I think we convinced him at the last hour to go ahead and come to Auburn. He could possibly come back too, but I think that's going to be – that'd be your starting five. And then you got a pretty solid bench, two really good freshmen coming in, and you'll probably add some other portal guys, but – that's what I'm going to go with for now. Let's see if the ruling comes in. Obviously, you got a whole brand new starting five. If the ruling is shut down, I guess the only guys you could get back would be your JUCO guys, which would be Denver and Chaney. I'm sorry, Denver and Chad. Could be fun to run this whole team back, basically. If Auburn could pick one superpower for the 2025 football season, what should it be and why? I would take Dr. Xavier. I take some mind reading. How about that? You jump in the mind because I think the talent's there, decision-making, you can call it play calling, whatever. I think that would probably be the third down. What are they going to do on third down? We kind of know what they're going to do on third down, so we can decide if we're going to drop eight or get after him. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go mind reading. Who is the least likely player to run the ball for Auburn that will run the ball in a game for the 2025 season? This is from Overfront. Who's the least likely player to run the ball for Auburn that will actually run the ball for Auburn in 2025? I'm going to go with Cam Coleman. Outside receivers are not typically your guys that you have those gadget plays for. You see, like, you think Malcolm Simmons, I would say Eric Singleton even, or would be sort of like your gadget play type guys. But I think maybe you have something where you can get Cam the ball on a reverse or something like that. I don't think there's any crazy wildcat options. Preston Howard played quarterback in high school. If you do go to that, if you want to go to some kind of wildcat package, I would hope we'd never do that, but that could be another one just because I know he ran the ball a lot as a quarterback in high school. Could that be something you design something around? And he's a pretty good athlete, but I'm just going to go with Cam Coleman and hope none of those other things happen. Obelicious, last one. It's a 40-degree perfect fall weather Saturday in October. That 40's getting down there, buddy. That doesn't sound too perfect to me, but let's go with it. 40-degree perfect fall weather Saturday in October, 2:30 game or late game. You always got to go with late game, I think. You start the game under the lights. You finish the game under the lights. I don't even know when daylight savings time ends. Daylight savings time ends in like November, I think. So let's actually look that up. When does daylight savings time end? Yeah, it goes through November. So like you still got a ton of sunshine. So at a 2:30 game, you might not even get under the lights. I got to go with a night game. I know that fall afternoon is just spectacular. You're in the stadium. The sun's up, but you don't feel hot. You're not getting roasted. I get that. I get the appeal of that, but I got to go with a night game. got to go with, you got to have a nightcap, man. Under the lights, the light show, the electricity, the fans. They've had a full day to get lathered up, loud, ready to go. Always got to lean towards the night game. That's what I'm going to go with. Another great barn takeover. A lot of fun stuff. Let me know what you think on some of these questions. I'd really love to know your thoughts on the basketball player or football player playing the opposite sport. I'm very interested to see the answers there. Let me know what you think in the comments. Guys, I really appreciate it. We're having a great week so far. We're going to keep it going. You know we're going to be back again tomorrow. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We'll talk again tomorrow. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.